Today's Survivor Recap with Aris is sponsored by CISO. Comedy nerds, rejoice! CISO has the comedy you crave with the debut season of Shrink, plus more from your favorite comedians, including Paul F. Tompkins, Dan Harmon, the McElroy brothers, Jonah Ray, the UCB 4, which is like the Power 6, but less funny, and they're all in hilarious, knee-slapping CISO original series. CISO allows you to stream great original series, next day late night, hilarious stand-up specials, and binge-worthy classics, including all of SNL, the entire Monty Python catalog, the IT Crowd, and more. Want to know what else CISO has? They've got the critically acclaimed new half-improvised, half-scripted comedy series, Shrink. Check. The debut TV series from my brother, and me, the McElroy brothers. Check. An animated fantasy role-playing game starring Dan Harmon and hilarious and famous guest comedians, too. That's right. It's all on CISO. CISO's the new home for all your favorite comedy. You like British comedies like The It Crowd and Monty Python, or maybe classics like The Kids in the Hall and Parks and Rec. They've got late-night TV, including Jimmy Fallon and Seth Meyers, the day after they air. And you can access CISO content from anywhere at any time using iOS, Android, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, Windows, or Xbox One. Ready for the punchline? CISO is just $3.99 per month. No joke, $3.99 per month for all the comedy you want, anytime, anywhere, ad-free. So go to CISO.com, that's S-E-E-S-O.com right now, and sign up for 1 month with promo code RHAP at checkout. That's CISO.com, spelled S-E-E-S-O.com, promo code RHAP. Comedy live from my apartment. It's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's getting paid back in karma for making fun of the Power Six, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this is a it turned out to be a special edition of Rob Has a Podcast because for the first time in the history of the show, my power is out here at the studio. I am very lucky, though, to have a guest here in person for this, really trying to talk about like roughing it like a survivor. Here is for, it's got to be like the eighth or ninth time for another season with a double Bushkowski cast, the winner of Survivor Exile Island, the great Aris Bushkowskis.
Yes, great to be here. Aris, please, Aris.
Aris, so we're back.
I just want to keep a little bit of fog.
Okay.
I don't want there to be any clarity with how we're saying the name.
All right. Well, it's great to have you here.
Thank you.
We were scheduled for Thursday morning.
Right. And then I bailed.
We moved things around.
Well, we were scheduled for last Thursday morning.
Yes.
You moved.
Yes, I did move it because I thought that, and Tyson likes to do the 2-hour episode.
Right.
I thought the 2-hour episode was going to be this week.
Right.
I had it backwards. It was last week. So we switched that around. And then I was waiting for you, and then the power went out, and I was like, oh, okay, well, and even though we were waiting for a while, power never came back.
Yeah, I was and hoping now, that my tardiness would be okay.
I was like, okay, well, maybe, I mean, that's not the worst thing in the world if we're waiting, but, you know, the show must go on.
The show must go on. So here in 100 degree temperatures, we are going to...
It's not 100 degrees. It's 77 degrees.
It feels like 100 when I'm around you because you radiate so much vitality.
I bring the heat.
You do.
And we are going to get into everything from the episode. Also, Alex Kidwell is here getting some video of all this. Are you creeped out about the guy over my shoulder with a camera?
Yeah, it feels right. It feels like...
Hey.
Yeah.
That's good.
Feels like this should be filmed.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm destroyed.
So we're getting some video to use down the road. So very nice to have you here.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I was looking forward to it. Yeah. I have to say, I was thinking to myself, just doing this podcast once a season, it keeps me so engaged,
grounded.
Grounded, spiritually attuned. No, but just engaged. You know, I'm gonna do the podcast at some point this season. I better stay on my P's and Q's.
Stay on top of everything. Yeah. So this has been going on for quite some time since you and I first did our very first podcast. I looked this up. I believe it was during Survivor Philippines. So this fall, it will be 5 years since the first podcast that we ever did. Do you remember how we got connected? Do you remember how we got introduced?
I don't. How did we get introduced?
So I had done a podcast with the queen, Sandra Diaz-Twine, and she said, you know who you should talk to?
And what'd she say? Tyson.
Todd. But she said, you know who else? Danny. And then, and also Aris.
He can be your fourth choice.
No. She said, no, you should talk to Aris about the podcast.
The queen. The queen brought us together.
Yes, the queen. The queen did bring us together.
Yeah.
Look at how far we've come.
We have come a long way, because I remember that podcast. And at that time, you had like, what, 5,000 listeners? No, more than that.
I don't know. It's from 2012. But
yeah, it's grown significantly.
It has grown. Yeah. But I just remember when we first got connected, and I had met you at like a party at back in like when there used to be the Fox Reality Channel.
Right.
I met you at a party like when you were.
Was that when Danny Bonaducci was doing his thing?
No, it wasn't that year. I think it was maybe the year before or after.
Right.
It might have been the year. Before that, because
okay.
That was right before they left for season 16 and you were just coming off of 12.
Right.
So it was like
right.
Whatever the year was that was in between that year. And this is when you were hot. You
right.
Were,
I was still a commodity out on the reality market.
Right. And so I met you then. And then afterwards, then when I talked to you, I remember like you were just like driving around, like going God knows where. And you were just like shot out of a cannon talking about Survivor. And it wasn't even the podcast. I was like, wait for this.
Yeah.
Let's wait until we're like recording.
Yeah. And it was kind of good timing because I feel like I took about 3 years after playing of like, I don't want to have anything to do with Survivor. I don't want to watch it. And you kind of caught me right as I went back into my passion for the game.
You were coming back in.
Yeah. Yeah.
That had to have been more than 3 years from Panama to...
It was more than 3 years, but,
right.
You know, it took me...
You were already heated up.
Right, right, exactly.
You were already back on board.
Yeah.
You just had nobody to talk to.
Right, no one to talk to about it.
Pent up. You were...
Yeah, I was ready. I was ready to go. Yeah, it's things I wanted to talk about. Yeah, then I went back and did poorly, and then my brother went back and did even more poorly, so things have gotten worse.
Yes, things have gotten worse. But before we talk Survivor, how's everything going on? That I follow you on Instagram. You're traveling the globe.
Yeah, yeah. We just got back from Japan. We did a pop up shop there for our.
What does that mean for the uninitiated?
A pop up shop is a temporary store. It can be for us. It was 2 weeks in Japan. Mm-hmm. It could be 3 months, but it's like it's a short term lease on a physical location.
Right.
So you kind of test the market that way and usually, you know, negotiate a cheaper rent for that time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And everything is going great.
It's going great. Can't complain.
Yeah. And River is great.
River's great. He's almost three.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's chasing Dom.
Yes. Not
forever.
Not literally,
but he'll be in perpetual chase of Dom. But life is good. Riv's good. I don't think we're going to do two. I think one is good.
Yeah.
I can't imagine two. I see you and Nicole. You guys put on a great Instagram face, you know, but I know deep down it's not easy.
It's not easy. And like, we wouldn't give the second one away, but like, it wasn't.
But if you offered money for him, we might.
When we had one, it was like, oh, this is great. Like, we should get another one.
Right.
We like this one. But the second one has turned out to be that, you know, there's a lot of it's not less just like, you know, the more of the same.
No, it's more work.
It's really hard. And to be honest, the second one is bad.
Yeah.
He's a real troublemaker.
Yeah. He's aggressive.
Yeah. It's a lot of work and they fight.
Yeah. That's the kind of how I feel like we did pretty well with River.
Yeah.
Like we got a good one. We kind of rolled the dice. We got a good baby. He's a nice kid. I don't want to roll the dice again and we get a bad one and now we got to deal with that.
Right.
You know?
And really, you know, that Dominic is good, that he's like me.
Dominic's amazing.
And then Anthony is like his mother. So I see.
I'm glad Nicole's probably not listening to this.
Yeah. Well, she listens to all the shows. She'll get to this eventually. It's early, you know, once she gets through the know-it-alls and the exit interview.
Right.
And
yeah, of course. Of course.
This week.
The exit interview.
Yes. Talk to me about Debbie.
Pretty salty still.
Oh,
sounds pretty salty.
So?
You didn't think so?
No, I thought she was actually pretty good. I felt like she was a little salty.
Who I thought she was. You know, she kind of reminded me of Steven Fishbach in Know It Alls.
Oh.
A little bit salty about Sari getting the attention.
Yeah.
You know, and then pretending like he wasn't salty about it. She was kind of
salty about Sarah and then like, ah, but I'm over it. Like, yeah. No, you're not over it. You brought it up.
She mentioned something, which was that she talked about how Sarah Lucina, she was doing her thing and she ran around and she was swearing on her kid in the game. Something that she said she was going to do in the pregame. And it's interesting because in my interview with Ozzy, he mentioned the same thing. He mentioned the same thing about how he trusted Sarah because she was swearing on her kid. Now, to go back to, you know, really old school Survivor, there is a long sorted history of this type of thing. Sometimes it works out okay, but go back
Shane swore on Boston all the time.
And that was, you know, and his word was good. Twyla, on the other hand, way back when, swore on her son's life once upon a time.
Right.
And then crossed it. And then she was like, you know, hated for doing that.
Right. Yeah. So first of all, Shane swore on Boston a lot.
Yeah.
And to this day, he will tell you, I would not have gone against that. But I was out there. There were things happening that led me to believe that maybe this isn't as good as gold. Now, he never got to the point where he, you know, played it out. But I think as you get down to the end, swearing on your child, it's as good as just swearing on your yoga, which is what I did. And
swear on my yoga. Yeah.
I have no.
I've told this before that I swore on my genitals one time in Survivor of the Amazon. I said, because I didn't,
which is kind of like swearing on your kids.
Yeah, I didn't have kids. I didn't have a hobby. I didn't have a
my
podcast
future
at
kids.
That time. And I said to Heidi and Jenna, like when we were going to vote off Christy, like, well, how can we trust you? And I said to them, well, I swear to you on my genitals, like may they not function.
And did that elicit a giggle or did they say, let me see them? Like,
well, they were like, well, he's serious.
He means it. Yeah. This guy's got balls.
Yes. Yes. On the functionality of the whole apparatus. And I meant that was my word is my bond, Aris.
Well, it proves in the pudding. You've got two now.
Yes.
Let me throw this question back to you. How do you feel about swearing on on offspring?
I don't like it. You know, it's one of my least favorite things about the game. It's the kind of thing I understand. You know, I don't begrudge anybody for doing it,
right?
But it's the kind of thing where it's just like, I feel like you sort of like need to establish that going in, like, hey, I'm not swearing on anything. But then when people say, then when you won't do it, they assume you're lying.
Right.
So I think you sort of like end up that you have to do it.
Right.
And I don't know necessarily if that's a thing where Sarah like was volunteering that information. Going back to Heroes versus Villains, when Russell shows up at the hero with the heroes, he's like, he tells them like immediately, like, I swear on my kids. And it's like anybody that like volunteers that, that's suspect.
See, I feel like I don't have as big of a qualm with it.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's a tool. It doesn't hurt anybody.
Would you volunteer that if you were out there? Like, I swear on River that I'm going to do this. I feel like that it's the kind of thing where I'd be painted into a situation. I'd never volunteer.
Right.
But people would say, swear on your kids. Swear on your kids that you're doing it.
Yeah, right. That's if you get painted in a corner, you kind of have to. Right. And then the problem is if you do it once and then you don't offer it up a second time.
Right.
Because you're like, well, I know I'm lying this time, so I'm not going to swear on River.
And then like Sandra back in Pearl Islands, then Johnny Fairplay was like, hey, swear on your kids. And she's like, well, I told Fairplay that I would swear on my kids, but my fingers were crossed. And I was really saying, I swear on my kids that I'm going to get you.
Yeah, I feel like this is a place where it's pretty arbitrary, like whose moral compass, like, is right or wrong. I don't have a problem with it. It doesn't hurt anybody. They're just words. And in this case, no one's like, yeah, I think this season we saw like a real actual, for the first time in Survivor, like a moral compass was like, whoa, you crossed a big line with Martin, right? But I think swearing at our kids, when you put those two next to each other, you're like, who cares?
Yeah, you know, no, it's the kind of thing that I don't think that the viewer cares, but I do I wonder if, you know, if Sarah can make it far enough, is that the kind of thing that Debbie is holding
gonna
over?
Going to be like, you swore. Oh, it sounds like it.
Yeah.
It sounds like Debbie would hold back a vote.
And it sort of like just speaks to like this move from this week. Well, if you had to cross people in this way that makes them be that upset with you,
is it a good move?
Was it a good move?
Right, yeah.
What do you think about this? And I'd like to sort of talk about in this podcast, because we covered so many questions about different things with Bryce. I'd like to sort of like have an eye on what's going to happen next well today.
Yeah. Well, so here's, I mean, the currency of Survivor's trust. How do you engender trust? Like, what do you do to get people to trust you? it's not just verbal, obviously. There's more to it. But like, you're trying to figure out, like, what can I do to get you to trust me? And then I'll tell you this and you'll trust me, or I'll tell you that and I'll trust me. And I think really what you're seeing is when people get burned, they're bitter. Typically they're bitter, right? And if you give them just a little bit of fodder to justify being extra bitter, they're going to take it. And that's like the swearing on my child thing. Mm-hmm. That's what I think swearing on child. So you have to figure out a way to cross people in a way that they're not going to have very many reasons to hold on to it by the time they get to final tribal.
Right. Like that six that we've seen, God knows what they all had to swear on.
Right.
Okay, this is the six. Right. That's why they all feel, you know, Brad, I'm sure, is, you know, I swear on Monica.
Right.
You know, so they're all feeling like pretty confident
in each other
in terms of that group not flipping. Back when it was the old Kasaya six, right, was there that sort of like group talk?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we were like, let's keep everyone together. I think I've told you this before. Like, I saw that Bruce was sleeping next to Terry in the shelter, so I moved Bruce over so that I was sleeping next to Terry.
Yeah.
Because I knew if someone was going to flip, he was more likely to flip than I was. But here's kind of what I'd like to talk about for a second, Rob, if we can. You talked a little bit about when there were six and five, the talent on the five outweighed the talent on the six, which I agree with.
Okay. I wasn't sure if that was unfair.
No, I thought that was really fair. If I'm on the six,
I can feel the six being like, screw you.
To be perfectly honest, listening to that, I thought to myself, if I was out there, would I be judged as talent or not? And I was like, I probably really wouldn't be judged as much talent out there, which, side note, if I ever played again, which I never want to play again, which would be a benefit for me because everyone would be like, yeah, he's not that good. Don't worry about it. Anyways, I agree with you. The five
had a good pick, like a post-hype sleeper.
Right. Totally. Yeah. Totally. But without the challenge threat that Ozzy posed, you know, right. I think I would be your...
I could talk myself into it.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Anyways, what I want to say is, so you have the talent is in the five. You're in the six. You're Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we don't know all the dynamics because there's been a lot of tribe swaps. But I feel a little bit like she just kicked the hornet's nest. She let all the talent out. Like, they kind of had the talent in the bag. Like, if you can play without the talent, play without the talent. Right.
And that's an argument for, was this move too early? Because if you can get down to the seven... And then
without Suri, without Aubrey, without Andrea.
Yeah. Zeke, you know, another.
Do it. Yeah. You know, like, play with these people that value trust, that are, I mean, like, Brad is he's not an old school player in terms of when he played, but like, he seems more like an old school player to me.
Yeah.
Ty's a flopper, so that's a little bit different. But all these people wanted to stay together. If you can look at those players and say, all right, I can work with these two. Get those five out and stay. So for me, like, watching that move, I know we're not supposed to be jumping there yet, but I feel like, man, just from the fact that you have all this talent, get the talent out.
Yeah, I get all that. From what she says, from what Sarah says, is last time I tried to play as safe as I could. This time I need to play a big game if I want to win. I saw Suri sort of like putting that idea.
She did. She planted it in her head really well.
Said, yeah, you'll get to the final three, but they'll just say that they dragged you there unless you go ahead and you start making these moves.
Which, unfortunately, I mean, great play by Suri. Yeah. I love watching Suri. It's brought back so many wonderful memories. She's so good. Her and Sandra, to me, are the two best players to ever play this game.
Mm-hmm.
Side note. But, you know, obviously, she didn't include the possibility, like, well, what if you got to the finals with Ty and who else is in that six?
Debbie.
And Debbie, right? Well, she wins that, right? So that should be Sarah's focus, right? But Sarita does a really good job of placing her in the final three with the two beasts.
How much of the you have to make a move plays into that? This is game changers. This is game changers.
Yeah,
you're here to change the game.
Yeah, you've talked about this a few. I think it does. I think it does play a big part. And I think also outside of just the name of the season pressuring them is that everyone thinks that they have to put together a big resume.
Yeah.
Which I think is actually inaccurate. You don't have to put together a big resume. You just have to have a better resume than the two people next to you. Right.
You don't even need a big resume.
You don't.
You need to be more likable.
It's a popularity contest. And Sarah clearly has a way with people. So like for me, and again, I don't know the dynamics. You and I don't know what's really going on out there. We just have the TV. But if she can figure out a way to get to the finals with Ty and Debbie, she stands a great shot. People are not going to vote for Debbie. I don't think Debbie could ever win Survivor. And Ty,
I don't disagree.
And Ty has shown that when he gets to a final tribal, people don't like him. Mm-hmm. Like, people ate him alive that season, right? So yeah. I don't know. If I'm Sarah, I'm thinking these are two great people to take to the end.
Right.
You know, and I can do it. That would be my thought. And it's not so much
overall,
of a resume.
Are you down on the move? That
I don't like the move.
I had said I liked the move, but I didn't love the target. I don't think that Debbie was the right person to take out.
Well, I definitely not the right target, but yeah. I don't like the move in general. Mm-hmm. I think that you've opened up a hornet's nest that you didn't need to open up on so many levels. You got those five stayed together. So Sarah was the only one that dropped. So Sarah stays, they stay, right?
Mm-hmm.
You figure once they start taking out one beast, they're going to take out all the beasts. They're going to take out Sari. They're going to take out Aubrey. Who do you think? Obviously, they're taking Andrea first, right?
Right.
But I don't like the move. I don't like the move on a number of levels. One, I mean, as you saw in the preview for next episode, and we can only guess what that's going to be, but it looks like it's just the flip-flopping that happens. It's so unstable.
It seems like that the Zeke and Andrea beef is not over.
No, they're still going to go at each other. Yeah. But I just
and when I rewatched the episode, I believe Zeke says, like, well,
one
I
or two
work
votes.
With Andrea for one or two. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, just leave it alone.
Yeah.
Leave it alone.
I don't like the move by Sarah. I think it was the wrong try. If you're going to do that, you got to take out either Brad or Don.
Right.
Sierra yeah. Don. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, what's the point if you're not cutting the head off the snake? I mean, really, you're cutting the tail off a snake.
Right. Or the midsection. But even still, I don't like the move. I think that for Sarah, you could maybe make the argument that, OK, I took out a goat, so I'm more likely to make it to the final three with mm-hmm. any of these people because everyone wants to take Debbie.
Yeah.
You can maybe make that argument. But it's still so early to make an argument about taking out a goat. This is not the time to take out a goat.
All right, let's talk a little bit about Sari and what you've seen from her. Obviously, big episode with walking across the balance beam as an unapologetic Sari fan. Did you love that?
I didn't like it. I didn't like it. I didn't like the editing. I didn't like that it felt contrived. Like, I even thought while I was watching it, did they like pose each of the other survivors around her? Because it was like too perfect. It was like an Abercrombie photo shoot.
I don't think they posed people.
I don't think they did either. But I, you know, as someone who's competed before, I know that they don't pose. But I actually thought, like, did they pose that? That's like too perfect.
Mm-hmm.
For Sari, I'm glad Sari did it. I just don't think it should have been on television necessarily. I was moved by Sari. I mean, I definitely cried. Because I'm friends with Sari and I knew what Sari was going through. I was like, that's beautiful. Yeah. But just as a viewer, I was like, we didn't need to see all this.
Ate up a lot of time.
Listen, I wasn't bummed about it.
Right.
You know, and I really was moved. I was moved because I'm a friend of Sari's and I thought, oh, cool. But it felt cheesy. It felt forced the way they edited it together. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
So.
And Jeff loved it. I saw him with Dalton Rossing. It's one of his favorite moments of the series.
Right. Yeah, I know. It just felt a little, it felt like it was like Jeff wanted it to be a moment.
Yeah.
Like, let it be a moment on its own without you forcing it.
I had said yesterday with Bryce, why I didn't like it was that it like turned Sari, who is one of the as Shane Powers once said, you know, she's a gangster in an Oprah suit. Why are we now? It's like we need to like, cheer that she can get across a balance beam.
Right.
I mean, in my mind, that's not what we're here. Like in my mind, she's already a badass. Why are we invested in if she can get across a balance beam or not? I think that the whole story of Sari is look, you know, I'm not Terry. I'm not, you know, one of these people that's going to go out there and win. I still am a danger in this game.
Oh, she's totally. I mean, I think Sari's got to be the odds on favorite to win right now. For me, she is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm spoiler free 100%, by the way. But I think like for Sari, for her, this was a like you. I watching it, you could clearly see she was like, shit, I'm hurting my tribe.
Mm-hmm.
I can't help them. I can't get over like seemingly just pull myself out of a pool or, you know, onto this platform out of the ocean. So there was like a lot that it brought up for her, undeniably.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't think it was anything that as viewers we needed to see. But for her, I was like, wow, that's a really powerful moment because I'm sure it brought up a lot of feelings of like, you know, not good enough. And also she's putting herself in danger in this game because she's clearly like out there all by herself, incapable of mm-hmm. finishing this challenge. That being said, I'm glad Sari had the moment. as a casual viewer, I didn't need to see it. As Cerise's friend, I'm glad I got to see it. But I just didn't like the way that I felt like, I felt Jeff kind of took it and turned it into something that it didn't need to be. That's all. And then secondarily, I feel like also, like, I didn't like that Jeff was like, we can leave or you can do it. Like, it would have been cooler if Cerise was like, no, I'm not leaving on her own.
Yeah, but Jeff, the fact another shot at this?
Yeah, that would have been, to me, cooler than, like, Jeff saying, all right, Cerise, do you want to leave? He kind of, like, forced her into it. You know what I mean? It felt like she had no choice. She was like, we're going to make this a moment.
Like, I'm good. But, you know, I think the biggest problem was watching it back was not necessarily that she, like, fell off the balance beam 100 times. Like, she was so exhausted from the water and trying to get up on the platform. Like, she couldn't get up on the platform, and she used all her energy to get up there, and she was just wiped.
And Cerise couldn't swim the first season.
Yeah.
I don't know if you knew that or not. She didn't know how to swim our first season. So she went and learned how to swim. So, you know, there was a lot going on for her at a personal level. I just thought, like, there's so many other things I'd like to see. But it was great that Cerise had that moment at a personal level, just not from a viewer's perspective. Again, from a viewer's perspective, now back to Sarah's move. From a viewer's perspective, I love Sarah's move.
Yes.
It was so fulfilling.
And I guess selfishly, as a person who podcasts about this show, I love Sarah's move.
Yeah, it was very fulfilling moment.
If I was Sarah, would I have made that move at 11? I don't think so.
And to Sarah's credit, it's hard to bide your time out there. You have a shot to make a move. You're like, I could make this move.
She's been antsy most of this season, where going back to Troyzan, back when he found the Idol Sister, like, hey, we could make a move.
Right.
And she's like, you know what? That is sticking with the four. That's boring. That's stupid. I don't want to do it. That's not how I'm going to play. Going back to Jeff Varner is looking for somebody. Like, hey, let's vote out Ozzy tonight. Let's vote out Ozzy. You know, who was the person that he was bending their ear? It was Sarah. So Sarah has been sort of like, she's like, you know, eager to make a move in this game.
Yeah. And I understand that. I understand that those days are long.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, I got to make a move. But I really think she should have waited.
Yeah.
I mean, and really because like let's say she doesn't make that move. Let's say she waits. Okay. So now they're up 6-4.
Mm-hmm. Andrea goes home.
Let's say they take out Cerise next, which you have to imagine that they would have stayed together another vote. Brad and Sierra, Ty, they all feel safer and safer, and Debbie feels safer. All the threats get voted out. The real gamers get voted out. And now when you want to make a move, they're so lulled into this sleep that you're going to be able to make this move at a better time without having to deal with all the really good players in the game.
So at 9, I'm just trying to think in my head in terms of what that would look like. Say Cerise is out, Andrea is out, and then who does she have? What's the 5 that she could pull together? Zeke,
Aubrey,
Michaela. Okay, that's 4.
Right.
You need a 5th though.
Aubrey. Oh, but on her own, but who else is on the 6? It's her.
She'd have to get still either Ty, Debbie, Sierra, Brad, or Troyzan.
I think she could get Troyzan.
Troyzan is going to turn on Brad?
Yeah, I think she could get Troyzan.
To go with Michaela and Aubrey
if she can't get Troyzan, I think definitely she could get Ty. Ty's been known to flip-flop, right?
Yeah, I mean, again, according to what Debbie was saying in the exit interview, her, Ty, Brad, and Sierra were tied. She said that was like the core 4.
So then it's Troyzan. Troyzan says, I'm on the bottom. I mean, he even said in this tribal council, like, hey, just get to the 6 and then you can make something happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah.
To me, that doesn't sound like he's the kind
of
person that's going to make
you don't
move
make the
nine.
Jump at the 6. You do it either at the 7 or the 9, right? That's right. When you make your move. But I do think that the 11 was not the time to make the move.
I almost feel like that the 7 would probably be the better spot for her.
That's where I would say make the move.
Because then it's like, hey, Troyzan, look, you're not in this final 3.
Right, exactly.
Like, hey, you know, whoever's left, Michaela.
Right.
And then, you know, is it Ty and Debbie? Is it, you know, is it Brad and Sierra and saying like, hey, Troyzan and Ty are coming for you? Like, I feel like that there's options there.
Yeah, that's where I think that the game should have been played, in my opinion. And it just requires a lot of patience. You know, Tyson talked about it in his podcast with you last week.
Yeah,
so much about winning the game is about choosing the time to strike. Because once you cross 5 people like Sarah did, it's so much harder to get back in their good graces. She's also, as I've mentioned 4 times already on this podcast, all the best players are the ones who are going to get knocked out of the game. Keep them out of the game. Yeah. Make your life easier. You're not. Listen, if I'm out there with Cerise, let's say, I am not as good of a player, social player, as Ceree. I know that. There's no way I could ever beat Ceree just in social play, right? So if she's not part of my core alliance and she's on the other side, get her out of the game. You know, get Aubrey out of the game. Get Andrea out of the game. These are people, get Zeke out of the game. These are people who are gonna, you know, work on getting people to flip, and they're smart people, and they're well suited at that part of the game.
Now, devil's advocate, talking about making this move too early at 11, way back in Survivor Bloodwater.
Yes.
When Tyson made the move against you.
Right.
At 11.
Right.
I said, that's too early.
Right.
I think that there's...
He made the game hard for himself.
He did. He did make... So you think, you still think that that was tactically... He made it work, but he had to work his ass off.
Well, so, okay, you got to look at Tyson's choices, right? If he doesn't make the move then, he's already told Caleb and...
The cat's going to be out of the bag.
The cat's out of the bag, because he's told Caleb, Hayden, and Sierra, hey, I'm with you guys. Let's vote out Aris, right? So if who does he take out if he doesn't take me out?
Right.
Who can he take out? He would have to take out either Sierra, Laura, Hayden, Caleb. Those are the people he'd have to take out. If he takes one of those people out, the cat's going to be out of that because they'll be pissed. So he forced himself into that play. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, honestly, I think what Tyson's best play, he won. So he made the best plays, but he made the game harder on himself. I think we get to the switch, the tribe switch, and he stays with Jervis and I, but he makes relationships with Caleb and Hayden.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of flipping on me at that point, because then he would have given himself choices come the merge. He didn't have a choice. He had to take me out.
Because when were you guys coming for him?
Six. He was six.
So, but at the point that you get down to, say, that point where he's sort of
like, he couldn't wait till the six. He couldn't wait till the seven. He would have been in trouble.
So even if he did it at nine, that would have been the latest. Seven.
Well,
you're saying it was a little too early?
No, I don't think it was too early. I think he had to do it then based on the things that he did previous in the game. Like, he kind of painted himself into this.
Yeah, I'd have to really look at a diagram of all the pieces.
Right. Especially then the people listening would be like, I'm lost. The thing is, we did a tribe switch and it was me, Jervis, Tyson, Caleb, Hayden, and Sierra.
Mm-hmm.
And unbeknownst to me, he was like, hey, let's get Aris out if we lose. Once he did that, he forced himself at the merge. He had to then.
Right.
Vote that way, right? Because if not, then let's say he voted out Caleb, Hayden would have been pissed and told us, vice versa, right? So
let me bring in a question, because it's about what we're talking about. Bob Marassa wants to ask us, is the Sarah move even better when you think about how she doesn't even know she's competing against three idols and a legacy advantage with that alliance? Now we're talking about maybe Sarah should have waited. But what she doesn't know is that I forget if she knows that Troy has the idol, but Troyzan has an idol and Ty has two idols.
Right.
And then Sierra Dawn Thomas, the sheriff, is also safe at the final six because of the legacy advantage.
Right. That's right. So, I mean, I guess when you take all that into consideration, it seems to me like it's. Let me start over. I didn't even want to answer that question. There's too many idols in this game.
Okay.
This is too many variables. Much many like idols. Jordan Kalish is giving you so many outs.
Oh, come
in your,
on. Leave that alone.
This
Leave
week
alone.
In Survival History. Survivor History. There's just so much to take, you know, to take in. I think you do your best when you're out there to account for the idols, right? You're like, okay, we have to vote in a way that's going to protect us if an idol gets played. But at a certain point, you kind of just have to say, like, all right, I can't. There's so many variables out here right now.
Don't forget, Sarah has an advantage now.
And Sarah has an advantage, too.
She can steal a vote.
Knowing where all the idols are right now, I still would have waited. Mm-hmm. That's what I would have done. How about you?
Well, does there being more idols in the game make you want to take more risks? Or do you want to take less risks because of there being the higher probability idols get played? I think I might play tighter.
I say less risks, so you make people feel safe. People feel safe, they're less likely to play an idol or misplay an idol, right?
Right.
They go home with that idol. So, like, I mean, all right, here's a question for you. If you knew where all the idols were, okay, right. We know where they all are. So how do you vote knowing where they are if you're Sarah? Do you take out Ty instead?
The tricky thing, and this is like what I was getting into with Steven, is...
Then they're back in play.
I know she has a good relationship with Brad. Right. I've seen that from sort of like the different things from the secret scenes. She seems to have a good relationship with Sierra. but how, you know, how much is she planning on? We don't know what her next move is. We don't know if she's going to go back to Brad and Sierra and say, look, Debbie was talking trash about me. Because again, if we look at Sarah through the prism of what would Tony do, Tony would use the other side to vote out somebody from his side and then go back to his side.
Right.
Like he would go with, you know, hey, Spencer, Tasha, Jeremiah, Jeremy, I need to go. Jeffra voted off. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you guys. I'm with you guys. And then come back and say, oh, Jeffra wasn't, you know.
Right. Yeah.
So that could very, very well be in her playbook. She could, this could be like a one vote thing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Steven said it well. She's doing something that's kind of engendered a lot of trust with people.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to last a flip like this? We'll see. I think it's too early for us to say.
And I think that she has a lot of things going for her where you trust her. She doesn't have the reputation of being a dirty player.
Right.
She's a mom. I think that's good. You know.
And she's swearing on her child's life, which is like, you want to believe that. The problem that she's going to run into is if she makes it to a final tribal, she's going to have a lot of bitter juries.
Right. She, again, because she, if she's, jurors, you know, in some ways, even if she's not doing it intentionally, people are looking at her. Okay, she's safe. I can trust her.
Right.
She's not schemey. She's a mom.
Right.
She's a police officer. She got really bent out of shape about how Tony sweared on his badge last time and then he broke that swear. So she has a lot of things in her favor where people would trust her. And then that could be creating animosity against her going back on it. So We just don't know what her next play is.
Yeah, I really don't know what her next play is, where she thinks she's fitting in. But she obviously, as has been repeated many times on these podcasts, she knows more than we know. Mm-hmm. So there's probably something. I think it's too early for us to say like where she's going to fit. Right. We'll see kind of how that all. Next episode will be a really eye-opening episode for us all to see, okay, like where does the deck reshuffle this time?
Yes. Do you subscribe to what Zeke said? Does the deck reshuffle every round?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. I think Zeke and Andrea, they're just not chomping at the bit to get at each other to shoot, you know,
right,
to shoot back at each other. So there's going to be a lot of reshuffling. That's another reason why you don't make this move, is because once you start the reshuffling process, where does it stop? You know? Yeah. Like your hope is like, okay, it stops right now. I'm going to be the only one to reshuffle it.
Who benefits the most from chaos right now?
The side without the numbers, which was Sarissa.
Yeah.
Now they have the numbers.
And she looks at herself as the bottom of that six. Is she one of the beneficiaries of that chaos?
Who's that, Sari?
No, Sarah.
Oh, Sarah? I don't think so. I think Sari benefits, Aubrey benefits. Obviously, Andrea benefited the most because it was her neck on the on the chopping block. But it was the five that benefited. And Sarah doesn't benefit as much as those other five, even though she was at the potentially one of the bottom rungs there. She's still higher than those other five, and those five are going to benefit. I just think it was too early. It opens up too many possibilities and gives too many good players a chance.
And this is another tricky thing heading into next week. Again, Ty has two idols. So now if that group that voted against Debbie holds, and now what are they going to do? Where are they putting the votes? And there's only a couple people on that side.
Right.
Troy Zan could play his idol. Ty could give idols away. If Ty wins immunity this week,
forget the three amigos.
No, they would all be. It's only four. It's only four because Debbie's gone and Sarah's flipped.
Oh, right.
So
Actually,
if all those people get on the same page and one of them wins immunity, you know,
they're all safe.
Yeah. Brad wins immunity. Ty gives an idol to, and they play everything. Right. It's like, okay, you know, come at me.
But is that a smart play? Because then if you're Ty,
it is, if you don't play the idols
and you show them.
Right. They walk in every they got four necklaces across.
Get at me, dog.
Where are you going? Are you going? At that point, Zeke's like, hey, why don't we vote off Andrea tonight? Okay.
Right.
Who's got it with Andrea?
Yeah, that'd be an interesting play if everyone wore one into a tribal.
We're that close.
We could really see that happen. Do you think that's a dream of Jeff's? I want to see
everyone. I mean, every single person at the tribal council?
No, just one side.
One side. I mean, really it happened with the three amigos. I mean, and that was a great survivor moment. So I think that would be certainly exciting. I think we'd all be going nuts about that if that happened.
That'd be amazing. I would love for that to happen again.
It would be very exciting. Talk a little bit about Brad Culpepper, because I know you were not on a tribe with him. But you did play with Monica Culpepper.
So I don't know Brad at all, but I know that my brother and Brad are close.
And from everything my brother said, Brad's an amazing guy.
Okay. That was a pregnant pause before amazing.
No. My Vita speaks really highly of Brad. I know that that's been another theme of the podcast this season is like, was Brad's first season edit? Did that make any sense? Listen, as a player of that first season, I was like, I don't understand why Brad is getting so much flack. The people giving Brad flack didn't even know Brad for the most part.
So you're saying as somebody watching the season or
no, as a participant, as it was happening, I remember being in that Redemption Island arena and like,
yeah,
what Candace just like went off on Brad and never met him. Mm-hmm. I was like, whoa, this is crazy. But hey, as long as it's not me right now, this is wonderful entertainment. You know, I guess I'm just speaking to his reputation. I think Brad got it. He really did get it wasn't a bad edit. He just had like Candace, like just she started this painting of Brad in such a like demented way that Brad could never really recover that season.
Mm-hmm.
And it showed in the editing, but it wasn't the edit's fault.
Okay, so you feel like that Brad just got a bad edit the first time around, and this is the real Brad we're seeing this season?
Yeah, I think we always saw the real Brad, but it was just like a kaleidoscope, you know? Like, there was a slant on it because of Candace's, like, anger. And then, you know, other people just kind of took that and ran with it. But to this season, watching Brad play, I think Brad's played really well. I think this episode, he made some mistakes, or a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, like when it came to telling Sarah how they were going to vote, they, based on the editing, there clearly was no conversation with Sarah. It was more like, this is how we're voting, deal with it. And that's tough. When you're in the leadership position in the majority alliance, your number one job is making sure everyone feels like they're your right-hand man or woman.
Yeah.
You know, and he didn't do a good job of that with Sarah. That was his job. That was Sierra Dawn's job as well, to make Sarah feel. And Sierra tried. She said, I want to take you to the three.
So what does that conversation sound like? And I'm sure that in Panama, you went through this, and I'm sure even at the former players beach back in Bloodwater, when you're talking about, hey, we need to vote out Laura Moret.
Right.
Like, what does that conversation look like with the other players?
Who do you guys want to vote for?
Yeah.
Why?
I want to vote off Kat tonight.
Okay. Why do you want to vote off Kat?
You know what? She's getting on my nerves.
Okay. All right. Do you think that that's a smart strategic move?
I think so, because she's really not very strong in the challenges, and really she's getting, I think it's bad for the morale.
Oh, okay. Have you considered anybody else?
You know what? Rupert's wife is also really not doing anything for me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you make a good point, Rob, because there are those two, Kat and Rupert's wife, two women, but you know, there's another woman, Laura, who wants to vote off all the guys. So if they all got together, we'd be in trouble. But I don't think Kat or Laura B could really pull that off. But Laura Moret could.
Yeah, Russell told me vote her out first before the season started.
So I think it's just like having a conversation, like letting somebody's, I hear you, that makes sense. Let's think about this. You know, and I'm not great at it either, but I think that there was none of that dialogue. And you also saw it a little bit when Debbie was like, I want to vote out Michaela right away. And he was like, no, stupid. Like, even though Debbie was receptive, they obviously had a relationship.
He said stupid.
Oh, okay. But whatever he said, it felt like stupid. In my heart, I felt like I won't. But you know what I'm saying? Like, he was a little bit too quick on the draw. I think like Tyson did a really good job of it his season of like, who do you think we should vote out? Is that someone we can get to? In his head, he's like, is that someone I could vote out? Yeah. Okay. All right. We can go with that. Is that going to work with my plan?
Mm-hmm.
So Brad didn't do a good job of that this episode. I think it's tough when you're in that power position and there's no one really, and you think you're safe. It's so easy to get cocky.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that I kind of pinned that one on Brad and Sierra and Debbie. I mean, Debbie, as you saw, Debbie also like really annoyed Sarah this episode. So she didn't do a good job either.
Who else do you know from this season? Do you have any sort of a relationship that I don't know about that with different players?
No, I mean, Ozzy, but he's gone.
Yes.
Are
you tighter with Ozzy or is
Vetus? Vetus. I mean, Ozzy and Vetus watched Ozzy's boot episode together.
Yes.
Just the two of them.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. Jealous?
You or,
no,
or
I'm
me?
I'm asking you.
Of who? Of Ozzy or Vetus?
Either.
Yeah. No, I just feel like that would be, again, I'd like that your experience of having your brother also in this world must be so surreal. Like my brother.
Siri with an L.
Yes. Yes. So it's so bizarre, I would imagine.
Like, yeah.
To have, you know, your brother, then you've done this thing. and then to have your brother involved with it. But then also, like, even in the post, like, oh yeah, I'm hanging, I'm friends with this person.
Yeah, it's you know, it's really cool to have that connection with my brother.
Yeah,
because as you well know, like, as much as you could talk to Nicole about Survivor, there's just certain things she'll never get about the experience.
Right. Like, it's weird for me. My brother came to the last know-it-alls, and then like he like have like conversations like different like people from the like it's like, oh, my worlds are colliding.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was a little bit of an adjustment in terms of like, wait, this is my space. You're invading my space. But it's been interesting too, because I feel like my brother is a better known Survivor than I am. And that was like a interesting adjustment because it was like Survivor was my thing. And now it's like, no, it's both of our things. And people don't even recognize me from Survivor, but they do recognize my brother.
What about, do you get recognized more or less with a beard or without a beard? Because,
neither. Yeah. I never get recognized ever. Yeah. Cause
you're clean shaven today.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, relatively,
for me, here with like really like burly beards.
I trimmed up to like, I don't know, like a 2 on the razor. Yeah. So just for those of you who can't see, on the beard trimmer thing is. And I went into the bedroom where my son was. I just had this beard. I didn't tell him I was going to trim my beard. And he goes, "Daddy, are you another guy?"
Another guy?
Yeah. He's like, "Who are you? What happened? Are you?" And he knew it was me, but he was like, I don't understand why you look so different.
Dominic had like brought a can of shaving cream to me recently. He's like, "Shave your beard, Dad."
So he knows you with a shave face.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's kind of his.
He recognizes me.
And what about Anthony? Cause I feel like you've had facial hair for a while now. Like this is like a year of facial hair.
Yeah, I mean, it's really short right now. I really cut it short also. I think he'd recognize me. I think he would.
It's a trip. It's a trip to see. Cause at one time before I had like a really big beard and I shaved it, and River was like, he did not know who I was. He was like, "Where's Dad? Where'd Dad go?" So. Yeah, it's kind of a fun thing to do with kids. Back to Survivor.
Who's going home next?
This is it. Literally have no clue. I don't think we have any clue, but I'm going to say Andrea.
Andrea. Back to Andrea?
I think it's back to Andrea.
Just because you have that 4 and then also Zeke still with an extra grind.
Yeah, I think there's enough on Andrea to get her to go.
This is a very interesting spot here because it's 10. And if you go back to last season, this is where we had our 5-5 rock draw. And, you know, if things end up being 5-5, we'd be in that spot again and go down to these rocks. And you have Zeke there as well.
Right.
Numbers, you know, if Sarah is thinking about going back to the other side, that's also a 5-5 split. So it really is a week where I would say that this week might shape the direction of how the rest of this game is.
Absolutely.
Go.
Absolutely. Which is interesting, right? Because if Sarah doesn't flip, you kind of like you don't get all these potential variables.
Well, that's why as a podcaster, you know, what she did was great.
It was great. It was great. Who do you think goes home next week? I think a lot of idols get played next week. I get the feeling that.
Well, the more uncertainty there is, probably the more idols that you're going to see.
Right.
And I wonder if the idols could be used as an intimidation to sort of like force people back on that side of like, Ty has an idol. He's going to give it to somebody.
Who knows that Brett has too? That Ty has too? Does Brett know?
Nobody. I don't think anybody
knows. And no one knows that Troy's in. He showed it to.
Honestly, I can't remember. Alex, do you remember this? Did Troy's in show the idol to Sarah? Okay.
I thought he showed it to somebody to engender trust. Right?
If he showed it to somebody, it was Sarah. Like there was a couple of scenes with them when he was talking about like working together. And I can't remember if he showed her the idol.
Dad brand.
Yeah. Right. What are you going to do?
Yeah. No. So, I mean, that's the hard part is to imagine all these people becoming aware of the idols on that. Right. Like how does Brad if Brad figures it out, I think Brad could like
there's a lot of trust in that group.
There is.
You know, I've said this before with Survivor. I do think at times like the smallest, tightest group, I think, does tend to prevail.
Yeah, I think so, too. And you know what else I think? I think you know what else really tightens a group is one backstab, because now they've all backstabbed. That's one more thing they all have in common is that, damn, we all got blindsided by Sarah.
Right. Because the big side, like the Sarah, like if we're saying that this is actually a side, Sarah, Sari,
Aubrey,
Andrea, Aubrey, Michaela, and Zeke, if that's a side, but there's a lot of distrust there where, you know, Sierra, Brad, Troyzan and Ty. They're, you know, that's sort of like a more of a tighter.
It is.
Core.
It's a really tight group. I mean, and it, I as you're speaking, I was wondering, when do Brad and Sierra go? Like, when do they make it to the final three? If their four makes it, obviously one of them is going to make it. But
who would win, Brad or Sierra? Brad?
I think Brad wins.
Yeah.
I think Brad wins. I think Brad wins because he's just like the limited amount of times I've gotten to meet Brad. I think he kind of has a few of the qualities like a Shane Power has or a Sander has, where he's a pretty shoot from the hip guy. And I think people will respond to that in the final tribal. I think
there's a lot of gravitas.
Yes, 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 yes. But I mean, again, who knows what? I've never met Sierra Dawn. Have you?
No, I've never met her. Yeah. I thought you would have probably met her.
No, you know, that whole Dirty 30 crew, I don't really...
See, I always feel like that you're like adjacent just because you're on the west side.
Yeah, I'm not as much of... like my brother, I'm sure, has met her. My brother, yes. Like, really kind of dives yes. in. I have
Vetus is practically
there's
dirty
a few
30.
Survivors who I really love and that right. I like to hang out with.
Right.
But, yeah, I never.
Who's in your West Side crew? Julie Berry.
Malcolm was.
Oh, Malcolm was. What happened? Yeah. You kicked him out.
No,
after
he's still.
This
he
season?
Just he just moved a little further okay. south. So there was Malcolm. Who else? Oscar.
Oh, okay.
Also known as Ozzy.
Ozzy. Yeah.
Parvati.
Okay. But now
and
she's,
John.
But
Fincher.
But now they're out of the picture.
Well, yeah, they're not in town, but when right. they are in town. So that's kind of it. It's that small Vetus.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's
Vetus hangs out with more survivors than I do for sure.
Yeah.
And then Tyson and Rachel.
Yeah.
So like they're kind
of honorary.
Well, yeah. When we all stay in touch.
Yes.
It's more family stuff now, you know?
Yes.
Like they're coming in for the finale. So
yeah.
We got adjacent hotel rooms over at the Survivor.
Oh,
hotel.
You're going to stay at the Survivor Hotel?
Yeah, because we figured we're going to have a night. So let's get a room Whoa. And then we can get a babysitter for Bergen and River and they can.
Okay. Well, can I get in on this?
Yeah. You want in? You want
to get in?
You want to get a third adjacent room?
Yeah. It'd be great.
Okay. All right. You're in.
Love it. I'm not going to bring my kids.
Yeah. Even better. Even better. You can watch us struggle with ours.
Yeah. Oh, that would be like a vacation.
Yeah. Great.
I would love it.
Yeah. So our plan is to spend one night at the hotel just on the finale night.
Yeah.
But I've been trying to get tickets to the live finale.
Oh.
And I emailed Despina and Dakali. Nothing.
Yeah.
They stonewall me. It's like I'm dead to them. I'm dead to the Survivor production squad to CBS.
Yeah.
What have you done for me lately?
It's a tough ticket.
It is, apparently. Yeah. Apparently.
So you're not on anybody's guest list.
No. Well, I don't. Yes. I talked to Sierra, the one who got voted out first, and she said, I wish I would have known. I would have like offered you a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, I guess I didn't tell her soon enough.
Okay.
So yeah, you're obviously going. You're press now.
I probably will go.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Well, yeah. Well, maybe I could be your assistant. Maybe I could scoot Alex to the side and nudge myself in as your assistant.
Well, you have to. Yeah. Yeah. That you and Alex can wrestle for it.
That's great.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Alex looks like he can wrestle.
We can't hear you if you. yeah. You get that. So you are getting a hotel. Is that what you said? Yeah.
It seems that way.
Yes. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah. That's the plan at least.
Yeah.
And then Thursday, for all of you listening, we're all planning on going to Universal Studios. So,
oh, wow.
Yes, yeah, so you should get in on that, too.
Wow.
Bring the kids. We're bringing the kids for that.
Yeah. Are you really?
Yeah.
So, that's, you know, it's a busy day for me, but.
Right. You have like, a lot of podcasting to do.
Yeah. Okay. Well, again, let's talk offline on this.
Yeah. Maybe we shouldn't have aired this publicly. Room 304.
Who cares?
Universal
Who cares?
Hilton.
Okay. Interesting stuff. Let's start to dig into some more of these questions that
okay.
I have for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. As we talk about all this, Nina Stoddard said, no questions. Please only talk about Suri for 3 hours. Is there anything else about Suri? Like, could you give us a good Suri story from Panama that maybe we might not know? Do you have anything?
Gosh. I mean, Suri's,
not when you farted really loud.
I thought about that yesterday. The fact that she put up with that.
Yeah.
The fact that she was okay with that. You know, Suri and I would spend a lot of our time, especially when we were the Kasaya tribe before we merged, just watching Shane and Danielle and Courtney and Bob Dog fight.
Right.
And so during those times, we'd be kind of just whispering to each other about how absolutely insane our tribe was.
You guys had like a work spouse relationship.
Well, Suri and I?
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. I mean, we
it's like a sitcom where you guys work in an office and now look at all these other crazy people that work here also.
Right. Yeah. 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 Exactly. It was like that. There's no like specific story I can say, except that Ciri's incredible. I think she's one of the best players to have ever played this game, her and Sandra. She's my odds on favorite to win it. I think she's going to win some way, somehow. It's amazing to me somehow that she, I don't understand why she isn't a bigger target. I don't know why people aren't talking about Ciri.
I think that this group is very fixated on the challenge threats.
Yeah, I'm like, why are you guys?
I know they were fixated on Sandra too.
You guys are idiots. Like,
but they're very concerned with these challenge threats.
And Ciri gets to a final three, it's lights out. She wins every single vote. Mm-hmm. Like, there is no one who beats Ciri.
Yeah, her name hasn't even come up other than Ozzy.
I know, it's crazy. Like, and they're not gonna target her for a while, because why?
Yeah,
you know, and that's, yeah. So Suri's amazing. I think that's why she didn't vote, why she didn't pick Michaela on the schoolyard pick'em, because she's smart enough to know if I pick Michaela, I'm it's gonna maybe be clear that her and I have a relationship.
Yeah,
my guess is the schoolyard pick'em was Ciri gets one, right, and then whoever she picks gets one. So she could only pick one person, and then her pick.
That's what it was.
I think that's what it was. I wish they showed how those picks happened, even if they did it really quickly, because it actually, it reveals a lot about the dynamics of the tribe. And they don't show it, which is a little bit of a bummer. I would have rather seen that than see Ciri get across the balance beam.
I hear you. I know. I asked Steven about it. He said, no, it's boring. So you don't need to see it. It's fine. It's fine.
The pick'ems?
Yeah.
No, that speaks so much about what's actually happening, because you're out there and you understand, hey, I'm in an alliance with this person and this relationship's a little bit sketchy, so I need to strengthen it. So I'll vote for them, or I'll put them on my team, you know?
Post Exile Island, what was your relationship with Ciri like?
Great. I mean, she lives in Connecticut, so I didn't get to see her as often, but it's always been good. We keep in touch. And
when you did Blood versus Water, was she in contact with you throughout that?
No. I didn't contact her about like what I should or shouldn't do.
I know when the show aired, did she like... bad beat.
Reach out to each other. Like I've been talking to Ciri after each episode via text message and Facebook message during this season.
When did you find out she was going to go and do this season?
God, I don't remember.
Yeah.
I honestly, it's not like, it wasn't like a moment that I, it's like, where were you when you found out Ciri made it? Her fourth season of Survivor.
I'm trying to think, do I remember where I was? I don't know.
Where were you when Boston Rob got selected to his fourth season of Survivor?
Vividly. Yeah. I think I was like trying to talk like Johnny Fairplay off the ledge, I think, probably.
Who do you think's most likely to play a fifth time first? Rupert? No, I'm asking.
Okay. Rupert, Ozzy, Ciri, or Rob? I mean, when I talk to Rob, he says, I'm out. I'm retired. I think that Rupert is, although I don't know if they want him. I kind of feel like that it could be Ciri.
Yeah.
Ciri could be. I mean,
listen, if Ciri wins, they're going to have a winter season soon.
Even she if she would doesn't go back. Win, even if she doesn't win. Like,
well,
if,
I'm just positing that possibility.
Yeah.
But she's still got it, man. She's so good. She's so good.
The probably, you know, if we had like some sort of like Survivor 40, I've said I think they should do all winners, but if they did some sort of, as Russell has talked about for many years, Survivor Legends.
You know, does Russell ever get invited back?
I don't think so.
Why not?
I think that he's a handful.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a handful.
He's a lot. It's a lot. Yeah. So I think that Ciri, I think you could see her in some sort of like, of those people, I think she would come back. And yeah. I think that's they have to like, both have to turn their key. They have to like, right. Rob, I think they'd want him back. I don't know if he wants to come back. Rupert wants to come back. I don't know if they want him back. Ozzy, I think that,
I think he earned another season after this season.
Yeah. I don't know if they're dying for, Ozzy.
Well, I mean, as a viewer, I loved watching Ozzy out
right.
there. I want him back again. He represents an archetype that I like in Survivor.
Yeah. Is there any sort of like, you know, is what's going to be different on the fifth time than the fourth time? With
right.
Ozzy?
I don't know if he's
going to get voted out at the merge.
But I don't know if I need him to be any different.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, I actually think in hindsight, like having him on a season with Redemption Island was an interesting wrinkle.
Because it gave him more of a shot.
Right. It's like, okay, you could vote him out at the merge, but then he's just going to go to this Redemption Island
and
knock
crush
and
ass in the arena
the whole game and just be sort of like being able to skip the part of the game that you're going to vote him out at.
Right. Yeah.
So that was like kind of like an interesting wrinkle to have in there. But if it was just a regular season, I don't really get why you would. And I made Ozzy my winner pick. I have no shade against Ozzy. I have, you know, nothing.
Right. No, I get it. I totally understand. I hear what you're saying.
Suri, I think, is like the perfect combo of she would want to come back and they would want her back.
You know, yeah. I think that, I don't know if it let's again, I don't know how this thing goes. Let's just say she wins. I don't know if she'd want to come back.
Well, I don't think, I don't think a winner would want to come back.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why would a winner ever come back? Fucking idiot.
Yeah.
I'm talking about myself here.
Yes. I mean, knowing what you know now over, like, because the winners really didn't get targeted on Heroes versus Villains.
Not at all.
Do you think that a winner should ever come back to a season with non-winners? If that's not like a true all-star?
I think this season, the winners screwed themselves. They voted themselves out.
Yeah.
You know, I think they would have been fine. I think there was only one season where winners, was all-stars, the first all-stars, where winners got targeted.
Yeah.
This season wasn't. I mean, Sandra's going to be a target because she's a two-time winner, right? Like, that target was going to be there regardless. But I don't think there was a target on JT. And I don't think there was a target on Tony the way there was on Sandra.
Should Survivor really push for all winner season?
I think they're really, honestly, I think there should be an all winner season. I will not be a part of it. Mm-hmm. Mostly because I don't think they want me, secondarily, because I don't know if I want to play again.
If they wanted you, would you want to go back with the winners?
You know my condition to going back.
Yes.
Should I say it on the podcast?
No, I think it's...
Because it's an asshole condition. Because all these people listening are like, I want to go play, and here I am like, I'd only play if this happened. I would love to see a winter season. I definitely don't want to go back right now. That's not my dream. But I'd like to see it. I'd like to watch it. I'd like to see how all the winners played, especially the winners that haven't come back and haven't played in a long time, like how they fare. It'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, I would think it would be good.
Yeah, I think it would be really fun. Really fun to watch.
Yeah. Okay. Let's take a question from... Let me just...
Do you think Cochran would come back for a winter season?
I don't think he would.
Or do you think they would have a special situation for one of
he
the winners to get
the winners? Yes. I think that would be the case. That would be good.
That'd be kind of amazing if they brought Cochran back for a winter season just to advise the winners.
Okay. Nita has a question for you. Whose game is surprising you the most? Who should change their game more?
Who should change their game more? Well, he's gone now, but Ozzy obviously was the one who should have changed his game the most. He kind of got himself in the same situation. I think Ty, maybe. It seems like Ty is in a similar position where he's kind of, at least the edit shows, he's kind of not in a dominant position. He doesn't really know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Or if he does, he doesn't really control it. I would say Ty should change his game the most.
To what?
To being a little bit more strategically involved and to taking a little bit more of the reins as the season progresses. I don't think he needs to right now, but if Ty wants to win this game, he needs to at the seven say, hey, I'm at the bottom here, or I'm not going to beat these two, so I need to make a move. Ty needs to make a move at some point. That's his idea that he can take credit for. So he has a shot at a final tribal.
Gregory wants to ask you, if you were on this cast, would you have worked with the other winners? How would you have played it? Would work with other winners.
Yeah,
Tony, though?
Yeah, I would have worked with all of them. I mean, I would have said, like, guys, let's stick together. But I would have also worked with Malcolm and Ozzy and Brad. I would have worked with the big guys and the winners. That's who I would try to have kept. And I would obviously work with Suri. Even though I could never win in a final three with Suri. Nobody could. I would have tried to keep the big targets and the winners.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I'm in a position where if I were ever to play again, I would never be considered much of a threat because I was considered kind of a lesser winner and then I lost. So my stock is really low, which is kind of a perfect time to go play Survivor.
So wait, you strike while the iron is hot.
Yeah. Or in this case, strike while the iron is really, really cold.
The iron is cold. Yes.
Bingo.
That is some sage advice, Survivor players that are listening. Strike while the iron is cold.
My stock is at an all-time low.
Be the worst person that gets invited to the season.
Yes.
Then play.
Then show them what you're
people
made of.
Worried about you, don't go.
Yes, exactly.
Say, I'll see you in 5 years. If you remember to call me, then you come back.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Not bad.
Not a bad plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think like if I played again, I'd have a good shot just because I wouldn't be considered much of a threat. My dad bod would keep me from looking like a physical threat. Mm-hmm. My gameplay in previous seasons would keep me from being a strategic threat.
Yeah.
So I'd all around just not be a threat, which is really nice.
Right.
And I'm personable. People tend to
enjoy my company.
Personable. I don't know why people are sleeping on you.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
You know, but I think I have a shot. I don't want to play again. I have fucking nightmares about Survivor. This is like the worst. Survivor's the worst game in the world to play. It is so fucked up to you when you play it.
What's the best game?
Golf?
Mafia?
Golf.
Golf.
Golf is great.
Yeah.
I don't play it, but it's great. It's longevity and you get to be away from your kids for 5-hour stretches. No one yelling at you.
Yeah.
It's great.
If it's so great, why don't you play it?
Why do you ask the tough questions, huh? You throw Vetus all the softball pitches and then you ask me the hard questions.
Who's the bigger RHAP super fan, you or Vetus?
Obviously it's me. I listened to Vetus's podcast where he tried to pretend. I don't even think he understood your question when you asked him that question.
Yes.
I think he thought you were asking who's a bigger Survivor fan.
Yes.
Which I would say my brother's a bigger Survivor fan. Okay. I will say that because he really likes to meet survivors and stuff like that. But
he's a big fan of the show or a big fan of meeting survivors?
Both.
Okay.
Both. I mean, I don't miss an episode, but I didn't watch till last night. That was Thursday night. Was it like a throwback to when Survivor's on Thursdays? No. It's just because I have other things in my life I have to do. But my brother doesn't miss a Wednesday night of Survivor. However, I listen to RHAP a lot. I listen to Know It Alls almost every week.
Yeah.
I think you and Steven have something really special.
Yeah.
And you know, I Jordan Kalish.
Oh, yeah. And we have something special, too.
Yeah. No. He lets you cheat. He lets you cheat. It's great. It's great to see the collusion.
Yes.
By the way, to our listeners at home, Rob is pissed right now. He's seething. I didn't cheat. Why would I cheat? My ego is not that fragile.
That's my voice.
He fucking cheated. He cheated. And I beat you today. I beat you at...
Well, in fairness, the questions were about you.
Well, it was the only time I ever fucking got 5 points on a game. So whatever.
All right. All right. Settle down. You're getting too worked up. I think the heat is getting to you.
Sorry.
Still only 79 degrees, but it does feel hotter.
It does. It does. I'm sweating.
It does feel hotter. All right. Donna asks you, if Sheriff Dawn Thomas gets voted out next, who does she give her advantage to?
Brad. Yeah.
Is it as simple as that?
Well, in my answer, it is. I mean, I don't know the answer, so yeah. I'm saying Brad. Well, who
do
you think?
I feel like that Debbie was a key cog for the sheriff. I think that voting Debbie out hurts the sheriff the most.
Yeah, she was one of her minions for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was her.
But I actually think she was more a Brad minion, as we talked. I wasn't part of this conversation last week.
Yeah.
You know, she had a big crush on Brad.
Yeah. You think it was a real crush? You think that it was not like a proverbial, she has a crush on me and I'm talking to somebody else?
I mean, I don't think it was a crush in the sense that she ever thought she had a shot. But I think that when you're out there, you kind of, you turn people into what you need them to be. And I think she needed that emotional connection.
Okay. Maureen wants to know, hasn't Sarah really earned the title of being the new sheriff in town more than fan favorite Sierra Dawn Thomas?
Ooh. Great question. And I agree. I agree, Maureen.
Is there a new sheriff in town?
That new. Yeah, I think so.
The new sheriff.
Maureen,
in town.
Great question. You should ask more questions. In fact, next time I come on, I only want questions from Maureen.
Yeah, she's going to give you a whole list of questions for that podcast. Susan says, who from this cast would be the most fun at Burning Man?
Ooh, great question, Susan. All right. Next time I'm on here, I want questions from Maureen and Susan.
Okay. All right. I'll give you another Maureen question after this.
All right. From Susan, to Susan, the best Burning Man contestant, Ozzy.
Ozzy. How about the remaining
who's still,
people?
Who's still in?
Too easy.
Okay. All right. Well, first I'm going to answer a question you didn't ask. I would hate to run into Debbie at Burning Man.
Right.
That's not someone I'd like to run into at Burning Man. I think Brad would be really fun at Burning Man.
Yeah, why?
Oh, yeah. Because Brad, from what I understand, Brad's like a really, really cool dude, like really open to trying new things. I think he'd be a fun guy. It's like when someone's new to Burning Man, you call him a Burning Man virgin. He'd be great to take on his virgin trip to Burning Man and just like say, like, Brad, check this out. Try this acid.
Yeah.
Not that I would ever do drugs.
Right. What about Troy's hand? I feel like he'd be fun at that.
He'd be fun. I think Brad would be more fun. I think Brad would be fun to watch go to Burning Man. Like, if you could.
He'd be freaking out.
Oh, my God. He would just like. Monica would have to put a leash on him, which is a great Burning Man costume.
Yeah. Okay. Back to Maureen. Troy Zan hugging Propes on a scale of 1 to 1,000. How uncomfortable / awkward was that?
Zero.
Zero.
I loved it.
You loved it.
I loved it. I thought it was great. I thought it showed like
it was this moment that kind of took Jeff by surprise. He realized, like, man, this means a lot to Troy Zan, not just winning the immunity, but like the hug. Like, there was this like authentic moment that occurred, I thought, at least, and I really liked it. Did you find it awkward?
I thought that Jeff kind of looked like he wasn't too into it.
I thought the opposite. I thought at first he wasn't, but I thought like he was like, oh, whoa, okay, cool. Like, I thought it was a really sweet, touching moment. No pun intended.
I have to go back. I don't know how much Jeff wants to hug the survivors.
Typically, I think he wants to keep people at arm's space. Arm's length. I think granted, I haven't gone back and watched it, but my experience of it in live recorded TV was that initially he was like, and then he was like, oh, all right, man, come here.
Yeah.
Like, I'm happy for you that you're so happy. I think it was a contagious, you know, expression of joy.
Okay. Brandy Burgett wants to know, did Debbie using the extra vote last week make her a bigger target?
No.
I do wonder, though, did Debbie making that move last week make her extra cocky? And did that make her a target this week?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that made her extra confident that she's running the show. And
that she's going to go make that move to Aubrey.
Yeah,
and
I wonder how. My question for you, Rob, is how much of the decision to vote out Debbie was made by Aubrey? Because the way that they edited, if you just go by storyline, that was the only justification for it to be done.
Right. I mean, if you're going by what Steven says, I think all of it. I think he gave the fishy to Aubrey and to Ceree.
Right.
So saying it was all their move. I know Sarah wanted to make a move. Did they put the bug in her head? Would she have gone for Sierra Dawn Thomas if it was not for what Debbie was doing? I just don't think we have those answers.
Right. We don't. We don't have those answers.
I do think that they did turn the screw a little bit with, like, you know, Sarah's like, I hate liars. Like, oh, Debbie is a world-class liar, great liar.
Right. Yeah, exactly. All right, here's a question for you.
Yes.
Hypothetically, you go back on Survivor.
Okay.
How important is it to you each episode that you win a fishy?
Oh, Steven would spite me and intentionally never give me a fishy. I could have I could win immunity, find an idol, mastermind a vote, and he would figure out a way to give it to somebody
else. Just let's let viewers back home. Let's tweet Steven. Let's ask him if that's true, if he'd spite
you. He never would. He would never give me one.
Okay, in a perfect world, he doesn't spite you and he's going to give you equal chance at a fishy. Would it be important for you to win a fishy? What if you could win a fishy even with Steven spiting you?
Yeah, well,
smoted.
It would not bother me to not get one. I'm just telling you that he would spite me and not.
I think it would piss you off.
No, it would not. It would not piss me off because I think it would be a bad reflection on him if I deserved it and he was going out of his way to spite me.
I would love to watch you play Survivor again. I think this is what needs to happen.
I have no desire to do it. But
I know you don't have to.
I think it would be fun. Like, once I was actually there. And it was day one and it wasn't raining.
Right.
Then I could get into it.
No, I get that you don't have a desire to go out there, but I think you'd be so much fun to watch, especially given all this experience. And God, please put him back on.
I'd be so cranky.
Rob C back on Survivor.
Me coming back, I'd be like Randy Bailey. That's basically a more TV safe.
Two Randy things. Bailey. I want Rob back on Survivor, and I definitely don't want to be on that season with you because that's just the side. The side comments you'd make. Okay, sorry. Back to real question. Sorry. I asked that question because the second time I played, like, as much as I don't want to admit this, I'd read his blog and hope I'd cross my fingers on the episodes I know I did well. I'd be like, did I get a fishy this time?
All the survivors are desperate.
Yeah.
They're also thirsty for the fishy.
It is probably the most coveted award outside of Soul Survivor that you could really.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. This is from Kevin McLean. How should people on the bottom endear themselves to the majority? How did Ceree do this on Kasaya?
First of all, don't be a thorn in anyone's side. And that's easy to say. When you know you're on the bottom, it's so hard not to be bitter. Ceree wasn't bitter at all. She was just cool as a cucumber. Be productive. Help people out. It's so much harder to vote somebody out when you have a connection to them and you feel like they're a good person. So it's like, if you know you're on the bottom and you get bitter, it's easier for me to vote you out because now you're this bitter person I'm voting out. But if you're sweet and you're personable and you're helpful around camp, now all of a sudden the door opens, the crack opens of like, maybe not you. Maybe it'll be somebody else. And that's what Ceree did. And she just held on long enough. I mean, listen, they don't cast normal people on Survivor. They cast
really like borderline schizophrenic personalities on Survivor, you know, sociopaths, all Rob and myself included. So the chance of a alliance sticking together more than two episodes is really slim for the most part.
Yeah. I think it's going to be, we'll see. We'll see if anybody has that social game, but I think it's unfair to compare it to Ceri just as like one of the all time.
Yeah. Ceri does such a good job of keeping her head, you know? I think Andrea is doing a terrible job. You know, I think Andrea with Zeke, like she's on the bottom. Like she had to like tell Zeke that he was shady. Like, how does that help? Yes,
It was right after tribal council.
I get it, but you got to keep your head the whole time. You know,
I thought one of the interesting comments though from Andrea was when they were at the reward and they were talking about like, hey, what happened with you and Zeke? And she said like, oh, well, he is just mad because he's not the center of attention and that's why he's taking it out on me. I don't know if that's what she was saying or that's what she was thinking, but if that's what she's thinking, then I don't think that that is a good read of a Survivor player.
Right.
I don't think that Zeke acted out because he wasn't the center of attention at the last vote.
Right. Yeah. I think it's probably because he had, what is it, four or five votes thrown at him is probably why he was like, what?
Well, no, but.
Oh, before that. Yeah, going before that. Oh, yeah. Right. No, I don't think that's why Zeke was doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I, you know, Andrew is one of these players where I feel like she's like 9/10 of the way there. And then that 1/10 always kind of bites her in the butt. And I think it's more like her emotional control.
Yeah.
You know, it seems to me that like she needs to, and she kind of did it by joining forces with Zeke, but that was really Sarah's work. You know, like Andrea really has to get her emotions under control. And that's easy to say, again, hard to do.
Is it going to throw you off if I stand up for a little bit?
No. Should we both do it together? Well, at the same time?
But I'm kind of need to stand up. Microphone.
You are.
This okay. All right. So now we're going to see.
Oh God, this is great.
Podcasting. This is like the seventh inning stretch of podcasting.
This is great. Alex, can you sing the "Take Me Back to the Ball Game," please?
Okay. We'll save that. Wanda will come in for singing the seventh inning stretch. Amanda Rabinowitz says, what is Aris asking for his birthday this year? If he doesn't have any ideas, may I suggest this Mafia-esque game? And she has an Amazon link.
Ooh, is this a plug? Are we plugging this game?
I don't think it's, I don't think that she is affiliated with it.
Well, my birthday's not till September.
Also,
so
Amanda, hope you're feeling better after your appendix. Is it removed?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, they usually take them out, right? Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's a big surgery.
Sorry. Thinking of Amanda this week.
No, I didn't ask for that game because I don't know the game, but yeah, I mean, I like Mafia.
Yes.
You know that, Rob.
I know that. We've talked for a long time about the idea of a Survivor Mafia.
Well, so maybe that's something that we can do. Like we could, who's your dream cast on the game of Survivor and then get them to play a game of Mafia?
Well, I think we have to go back from who could we get to come to your house?
Right. And then, or your house.
Or my house.
Nicole could host the game.
Oh, yeah. Nicole loves games. That's just what Nicole wants to do.
Here's the problem. If you play Mafia with Survivors, every Survivor somewhere in their head thinks they're going back. They're not going to play hard.
Well, you play so hard. I'm sort of like half, like if somebody is like, are you in the Mafia? Like, nope. Like, are you in the Mafia? Like, swear on your kids. You're like, all right, fine.
And how do I play?
You play like, I swear on River. I swear on everybody. You're a real Sarah Lucina when it comes to playing Mafia.
Yeah, no, I commit. I commit because you know what?
Have I told the story when I first interviewed Shane a couple of years ago about Survivor, he was like, yeah, I played Mafia with ours. I was really bummed out that he swore on Christie's life that he wasn't in the Mafia and he was. Have I told you that?
Yeah, no, yeah. Dumb ass story, but yeah, he was bummed, but we crushed him. You know?
It really bummed me out.
on my bachelor party, we went on a whitewater rafting trip in the Kern River.
Yes.
And one night we played Mafia and the first game we played, I won. I was in the Mafia. I won it. And then someone like was passing around a joint and I took a hit and I like wandered off for a bit to be by myself. Got super high. Went back in and now we're playing Mafia. And I was like, you know, they hand out the cards like, please, I don't want to be in the Mafia because I can't lie right now. Of course, I'm in the Mafia. And they asked me, are you in the Mafia? And I looked at everybody and I was like, I can't tell you that information.
Yes.
And obviously I was voted out immediately.
Okay, and then I guess similarly, Felipe wants to know, what's the update on us going to Burning Man?
Let's do it.
Felipe. No.
Let's do it. Let's take Rob.
I'd rather go on Survivor than play go to Burning Man.
Ooh. Okay. Well, yeah. Let's do it. Let's get Rob on. Let's get Rob on Survivor and let's get him to Burning Man afterwards.
I had a choice of 39 days of Burning Man. Of
well,
Survivor.
No, Burning Man is 7 days.
Still, I take back to back seasons of Survivor. I'd put me on like the Russell Hantz plan.
Would you rather go to Burning Man for 7 days?
Yeah.
Or go on Survivor, but you know you're getting voted off first.
Oh, I've said this recently, Aris, that I have no fear of getting voted off first. You're telling me
the 36 days of vacation away from family sounds amazing.
It's funny. 36 days by myself.
It's funny.
No changing diapers, making breakfast, wiping butts, anything.
Sierra, not Sierra Dawn, but. Yeah,
now
Sierra.
You know why she's like, I'll go back.
Her and I spoke, and I was like, God, how much did you enjoy those 36 days to yourself? I loved it.
I love it. That's you know what? Tony has two kids. Everybody's like, what is Tony doing? What a lunatic that Tony is.
He knew what he was doing. He knew exactly what he was doing.
Exactly what he was doing. Okay.
I don't want to be out here starving. I want to eat and enjoy myself.
How many days can I get?
That's pretty funny.
By myself in Ponderosa? Yeah, he loved it.
That's really funny.
Had the best time. All right. Let's see. Patrick wants to know, would you trust Debbie to be a pilot of any aircraft that you fly on?
Maybe not a pilot, but I'd trust her to be a model for us.
Oh, a model.
So that was Christy another Dawn job to see.
Reached out to Debbie?
We haven't reached out. I think her rate is a little high for us.
Yes.
But, you know, we've thought about it. We've definitely perused the internet for some of her modeling shots.
Okay. And you've looked at them and you're thinking about it?
Yeah. I mean, she knows how to model.
Yes. Have you thought about changing the company's name with everything going on to Christy Dawn Thomas?
Ooh, we've thought about it.
All of the Sierra Dawn Thomas hype.
We've thought about it. We don't know if the hype is going to be long lived enough to justify the.
It's big.
It's not so much the size of the hype, but rather its longevity that we're worried about.
Yes, yes.
But you never know. They could be as permanent as their eyebrows. I don't know.
Yes, Christy Dawn Thomas. I think that's hot. John wanted to know, did you go to Coachella this year? You go to Coachella too?
No, we didn't go to Coachella. Listen, I haven't been to Burning Man in like 5 years.
Yes.
You know, being a parent does that to you. We were thinking about going at some point in the future with River, but I don't know. It's a lot. You can just hear the stress in my side.
Yeah.
Going anywhere with a kid is terrible. You know, like homes are for kids. Your home, you make your home for the kid, and then you go on vacation and it's like, there's none of the amenities.
No, but
there.
I talk myself into it. I'm like, oh, you know, I really want to take the boys to the zoo. I really want to take them to the aquarium. And then in like 5 minutes in the car of going there, like, this was the dumbest
this is
idea.
The worst idea.
Worst idea.
Where
ever.
Is Moana? Where is the iPad?
Then you forget about that.
No, what's worse is we took River to Japan. Jeez.
Yes. Yeah. I saw those pictures.
The pictures were great.
Yeah,
but they tell only one side of a multifaceted story. Just let me tell you.
This is from Jordan Chong wants to know, who's someone that you've played with that would have made a good game changer for this season?
God, Shane Powers would have been amazing. Tyson would have been amazing.
Is Shane Powers a game changer? Who came after him that was a Shane Powers? Like,
I think Shane Powers was the game changer in the sense that they started really casting characters.
Yeah.
I think that changed the game from a casting perspective.
Well, who did they put on Cook Islands that was supposed to, like, Shane himself was, like, he broke the mold.
Right.
But did he, did you change the game?
I don't think you can take Cook Islands as, you have to look a few seasons afterwards to, like, really look, because they, you know, they cast Cook Islands before they aired, most likely, our whole season, right?
Right.
So, I mean, does Zane get on if Survivor, or sorry, if Shane hadn't been on?
Why, because he smokes so much?
No, he was just such a character. Nah, I'm joking about Zane, but, you know, Debbie is a good example.
Look, I think you'd have a pretty strong case for Shane as a game changer.
From a casting perspective. I think he changed
Nobody
the way
would
that...
quibble with it if you call him a game changer. I think that's fine. I think that he's a game changer, certainly more than, you know, like Jeff Varner was. Like, you know, he's a big personality. I think you could leave it at that. People would like to see him.
But Shane would just be such great TV. I really want to see Shane play again. I don't understand. I mean,
I think he's happy. I think he's happy. And
oh, I think he doesn't need to go on, but I would love to see Shane play again. Just from, you know, my own personal desire to see him. He's so funny. And like, he has no control over his emotional outbursts, and they're so intense. But he can recover. He's the only person I know who can recover from calling your mom a bitch. And you're like, all right, I still love you.
There's a non-zero chance he just like walks out of a tribal council. Like, he'd be the first player just like in the middle of the tribal council. He's like, you know what? Screw this.
Fuck this.
I'm leaving. Yeah.
I'm going to have a cigarette in 2 minutes.
That would be great. It would be fun to watch, but what about you?
Well, what about you, Rob? Who do you feel like you've played with that was a game changer that isn't on this season?
Boy, that's tricky to go back to in terms of the people that I played with. I mean, I guess you could argue that, you know, Jenna and Heidi, you could argue that they were in a way game changers in that, other than you, Sarah, who was out there with Boston Rob, like nobody like really from a female perspective tried to say, hey, I'm going to really, you know, try to get ahead using my looks in this game.
So do you think Parvati is somebody who followed in the footsteps of Jenna and Heidi?
Yeah, I think that they did sort of like look for that siren who was going to go out there.
Right.
And I don't even think that Parvati really became that until later in her Survivor career.
It's funny because I feel like she more played the siren early in her career, and later she kind of dropped that.
Well, I think that certainly when she's like getting in the hot tub with Yul and Ozzy, but before that, I don't really remember her.
Julie Berry did a little bit of the sirening.
She did that too. Yeah. Right. She actually was more effective, I think, than Parvati was in her first season.
But there hasn't been too many sirens that really were able to use that technique or tactic effectively.
Yes. Yes.
Which is interesting because they do cast a lot of beautiful people, and you'd think that it would be kind of a more prevalent technique, but it's a very subtle skill.
Yeah. I think that to sort of like do it artfully.
Yeah.
Is true. There have not been a lot of women that I think that have really done that. Like, I think that there are women that have said, hey, I'll flirt with guys, but it's not necessarily like Machiavellian.
Yeah. And I think that's more like, and this could be very controversial, but I think that's more because men just tend to be just worse humans. Like, men are just worse. We're bad. We're like, we're evil. We start wars. We're awful
going
people.
With this, though?
Just that the feminine energy is a lot more empathic and a lot less likely to be duplicitous. And I think, you know, it's just this is more of me trying to say we need more feminine energy on this planet in powerful positions.
Yeah,
because it's a different. I don't know why I started this conversation. Just go back and delete this shit.
Yeah, I don't even know what you're saying right now.
I don't know what I'm saying. Can you imagine what it's like to be me?
This isn't another Jill Stein stump speech, is it?
God, it is.
Please. Let's hope that my wife doesn't remember that again when we go downstairs.
God, I'm nervous already.
Okay. Laura wants to know, can you discuss the vote steal concept? Doesn't it rob the players of one of the only constants in the game, their vote? And using it all the way to the final five could completely destroy somebody's game. What do you think? Do you like that they could just steal somebody's vote?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting play. I think it's really, from a viewer's perspective, yes. Listen, as a competitor, as a former survivor, as someone who goes out there, you don't want any of these things. You like, the more consistency you can keep in the game, obviously the easier it is to navigate. But as a viewer, I think this is a really interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it adds another layer. And why not? Like, I mean, I don't know how it's going to end up, but if it's played correctly, obviously it can change a lot of how a vote goes.
Okay.
What do you think?
I think it's interesting. I mean, I do think that we are sort of teetering on the brink of there being too much stuff going on.
You hear that, Jordan Kalish?
Yeah. But that being said, I do like this twist, and I thought it was fun when Steven had it in Cambodia. So I look forward to seeing, because it's great. Because
I look forward to seeing it get played correctly.
Right. That'd be good too. But I like sort of like the reaction of like that you're sort of like stabbing somebody in the back to do it. You have to like stand up and say like, I am going to take Aris's vote tonight? Like, okay, Aris, you're not voting tonight. Like, I do like that sort of like, I like anything that makes people get mad at each other.
Yeah. I mean, it would be interesting to see it be played if like you were in an argument with your own alliance.
Yeah.
Right. And you like couldn't convince one of your alliance mates to go that way. And you're like, all right, fine, we'll go this way. And they're like, I'm going to steal your vote.
Yeah.
You know, but like not, I feel like typically you would steal it from someone not in the alliance. It'd be fun to see it like if you like stole it from your alliance mate and really okay. stirred the pot.
All right. Well, Aris, we've talked about so much stuff. Is there anything else that you want to discuss today?
It's just the male-female energy.
Male-female energy. Tell me, I have a question for you. Yes. So if my power went out around 10:40.
Correct.
And it's 2 o'clock right now. Is all this stuff I bought at Trader Joe's today just done?
I think you're fine. I think you're
fine. I think
fine.
I'm fine.
I think, did you buy frozen food?
There's frozen food. I bought everything.
Oh, the frozen food's going to melt and then it's going to refreeze. So it'll be like a different shape. But other than that, you're all right.
Yeah. What do you think the move is? Go and buy a bunch of ice and just stuff it all in there?
I think you just got to eat it now.
I could not like that. Can you give me like some commendation for... that how I've kept it together because I'm really very, guys, very upset about this.
I have to say,
we've
done this whole, the hashtag for this podcast is blackout.
Yes.
Because we're doing this in a blackout. Granted, it's the middle of the day, so we have light, but
yeah,
this has been impressive.
It was going to imply that you were going to like faint in some sort of beast mode cowboy type exhaustion from being in this hot room.
No, I would never faint in a hot room like this. This is right up my Burning Man alley.
Are you ready to do some hot yoga right
yes,
now?
Yes, it's a Bikram class.
Okay, great.
That's what it feels like. I'm sweating a lot. I'm sweating profusely.
You have jeans on.
That's true.
Yeah.
You didn't give me the heads up.
I didn't. Well, you were already on your way at the time the power went out.
Or so you thought.
Yes. Yeah. So I thought. Apparently not. So hashtag blackout. What else is going on? Where could people find out more about Christy Dawn Thomas?
Well, you know what? Here's let's not talk about Christy Dawn Thomas. I just, in December, I went and I left my family for 12 days. I do it every year.
That's nice. How did you do that?
A meditation.
Oh, okay.
So if anybody's interested in meditation.
But meditation? Let me write this down.
Yes, meditation. If anyone's interested in meditation, I don't benefit at all from this, but it's an organization and they offer these 12-day retreats. They're totally free. And they're donation based, and it's dhamma.org, dhamma.org, and they have them all around the country. So I think that'd be a cool thing to share if anyone's interested in learning
the
meditation.
Dhamma Initiative.
No, it's not the Dhamma Initiative. It's called Vipassana Meditation.
Okay.
And I just did one in December. I've done 7 of them.
7.
They're 10 days of silence, so you have to be willing to be silent. But it's amazing, and they teach you a meditation practice that I found to be really useful in my life. So.
Did I tell you that I was meditating for a little while?
Were you?
I was.
What's that?
I had an app.
Okay.
And I was doing 10 minutes.
Inside timer?
No, Headspace.
Okay. How'd you like it?
I liked it, but I'd have to I would have to get up early in the morning to do it.
Right.
And then the babies wake up and it's very, and then like,
it's harder with kids.
It's hard.
Yeah.
And then, and Nicole likes to sleep in to like, you know, 8:30. And then the kids are waking up and then she's just like screaming for me.
Yeah.
And
I had to
stop.
Do you know what I do now? I do my meditation after the nanny arrives.
Oh,
so that I can like actually get myself a little bit of time every morning. But, did you notice, did you were like, oh, I feel like a little bit, any kind of changes at all?
A little bit, but,
how long did you do it for?
30 days.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. I mean, you know, for me,
nobody leaves me alone long enough to meditate.
It's hard. As a parent, it's hard to get the time to meditate. But that's why this is great, because it was like 12 days, no family, all by myself. It felt like, you know, being on Exile Island. But just with
food. I'm into it. Yeah. I'd go.
And it's like, I mean, for any of you listening, if you've never meditated before, it's non-denominational. It's not like you have to have any kind of beliefs. It's really just about
the
taking
meditation
some time.
Would be bonus. I would just be like the, you know, the Tony Ponderosa theory.
Rob, could you go 10 days without talking? That's my question.
Oh, you can't talk?
Yeah. It's silent.
What about you? Can you go on your phone?
No phone.
Twitter?
No. Okay. I feel like now I'm not selling this at all. Never mind. Don't go to dhamma.org. Don't meditate.
All right. All right. No, I would love to. I've for a long time I've wanted to.
It's rad. I mean, I have to get permission, obviously, from over. It's a big ask.
Right.
But for those of you without kids, it's not as hard.
Yes. Okay. All right. What else? Anything? But you're still tweeting?
That's
good.
At Otis Music. I tweet once a year during or twice a year during our podcast.
Okay. So you'll be back to tweeting?
Yeah,
again?
I'll say something and you'll find it relatively uninspiring and you'll stop following me.
Well, you have to be inspiring to come on the podcast?
No, but I don't mean to come on the podcast. I mean, like, anyone who follows me on Twitter is probably just bummed. They don't remember they still follow me.
What are we doing this fall for the big 5-year anniversary?
Ooh.
And you had your own, you had your wedding anniversary, right?
Yeah, we had that 2 days ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what you, and I saw you went to like some, so what do you get, massages and sushi?
Yeah, so it's like a Japanese spa in Beverly Hills.
Yes.
And they give you massages, you soak in a tub, and then they bring you sushi. It's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. It was really cool because it was 3 hours long, so 3 hours without our son.
Yeah.
To just connect. It was amazing. I posted this story on Instagram stories of like when we were filling out like the massage like thing. It's like, okay, do you have any injuries? No. Where on your body do you want to be massaged? And Christy was right next to me and we both smiled because obviously my mind went to happy ending. So I circled it and put arrows and Christy filmed it and we posted it on Instagram. And then I got this message from somebody who is like a devout Christian, like, how dare you?
Yeah.
Do that. And I was like, it's a joke, lady. My wife made the video, but yeah. I guess I crossed lines, or in this case, circled things.
Yeah. 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 I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have done it.
What if Nicole thought to do it though?
She would. I mean, that's where her head goes as in terms of her sense of humor.
Right. That's what I mean. It was a joke. Yeah.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have done it because of your fear of the backlash or Nicole.
I feel like it's a little on the nose in terms of the
too obvious. It's not that funny. It's too obvious. Yeah, that's what you're really trying to say. I'm not that funny. Fuck you, Rob. What's going on with you? What do you want people to know about you? You fill the world in with you.
Yeah, I don't know.
When's the last time you had 2 hours to yourself?
2 hours. Okay. I don't know where nobody's bothering me.
Yeah.
I mean that sometimes what happens is that I have a lot of things to do and I just end up procrastinating doing the many things I have to do. So technically, if I would have used those hours better, I would have had hours to myself.
Right.
Instead, I just had hours like pacing around, like rubbing my temple. Like, oh my God, how am I going to do all this? Oh my God.
There's no way this is going to get done.
Right. So other than that.
Well, what we could do is typically our podcast, this is a short one for us, are 3 hours. So we could just go in the other room and tell Nicole we're still up here podcasting, just hang.
Yeah, I guess we could. We could do that. Sure.
She'd never know until she listened to this.
Yes. Well, sometimes I think she's also, she's like listening by the, she says she's like, oh, I just heard that. But then sometimes like anything I don't want her to hear, that's the stuff she
that's
hears.
That's the problem. Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see what makes the cut this week.
Yeah. Can't wait.
Okay. Well, all right. So let me go start to figure out what to do about this electricity situation.
Yeah, figure it out.
Pleasure to see you.
Always.
Hope that we can reconnect around finale time.
Yes. I hopefully will. Who are you going to have do the live finale with you?
Oh,
are you going to have Spradlin come back again?
No. Well, if Steven is in the mix, I don't know who's going to be in town for the for the finale.
That's kind of, I feel like that's like the biggest honor.
Yes.
Is who do you choose for your live finale?
Yes.
I feel like I'm always kind of like bottom of the barrel. You're like, all right.
You don't even go most of the time.
No, I'm not even talking about live finale. I just mean, like, I think I've done this to myself. I'm like, Rob, just choose a week. I don't care.
Yeah.
Where every other survivor's like, no, I need my double one, or I need to be on the finale.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm pissed at Tyson for bumping me. Just pissed.
It wasn't him. It wasn't. It was 100% that he likes the double episode.
Because so we can talk more. He loves to talk.
Yeah.
He's
a
talker.
Yeah. Do you listen to News AF?
No, I don't. Is that good?
Yeah, why is it's great.
Listen, I'm a strictly survivor Rob has a podcast.
You don't want to listen to Tyson talk about other stuff?
No. I get enough of that.
Okay.
No, I talk to Tyson enough.
Well, I recommend it. You should check listen to one. Listen,
I will.
Listen
I will.
To one. That's
I will.
That's some homework. Okay. Alex, did we forget anything? No, he's nodding no.
I saw the movie Lion. Have you seen that movie?
No. How was that?
Oh my God. So good.
It's about a real lion.
Kind of. You should watch it. Okay. Yeah. If you like lions, you should know. It's not. It's about a boy who gets separated from his family. It's a true story.
Okay.
Gets separated from his family and the journey back.
Yeah.
Which spans many, many years. It's an incredible movie.
Yeah.
Had me in tears.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's
that.
All right. that I don't know if I want to cry during a movie. Like, I think it's more of a distraction.
Yeah, I feel like I've been crying a lot. I saw Gleason. I cried during that. Have you seen that movie?
No, I never heard of Gleason. Oh, Jackie Gleason?
No. I forget this first name. It's an NFL player who played for the Saints who got diagnosed with ALS.
Oh, a feel-good story.
Yeah, real feel-good story. And he decides that he's going to make it. And a month after his diagnosis, they find out they're pregnant with a boy.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to talk to my boy even by the time, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm going to make this video journal.
Yeah.
And turns into a movie. And it is, you want to cry, watch
it. Is it real? Is it the real?
Yeah. It's unbelievable. Yeah. It's unbelievable. Man. So just two big tears.
Heavy stuff.
Lion, however, I will say, you cry a lot during Lion, but it's a really beautiful, it's like a good tears. Gleason is just like, holy. Now, give me a movie that you want to watch that I can watch.
I don't know. Something light.
Okay. Are you excited about Game of Thrones coming back?
Yeah.
Okay.
But you know, that's a lot of podcasting too.
Do you do a Game of Thrones podcast? Oh, yeah. Wow. I'm more of a Silicon Valley guy.
Yeah. I'd like to binge that. That's really?
So you don't just go every Sunday. You like wait for it to be done.
No, I've wanted to watch it for a long time. I never started it.
Well, it's fun for me. I was telling you before we got here, like we just had a capital investor, give us a phone call for Chrissy Dawn. So it's like fun to watch Silicon Valley for me to see like, all right, how does this all work? And you know,
okay, that Chrissy Dawn Thomas hype is
Chrissy
real.
Dawn Thomas. Don't sleep on Chrissy Dawn Thomas.
It's all happening. All right. Aris, thank you so much.
Thanks,
again. I really appreciate you coming out here.
Yeah.
Was this better than the Vetus podcast?
I don't know. I always feel like my podcasts are terrible and then, you know, I get feedback and I'm all usually dead on.
Okay. All right. And, thanks everybody who, listened to this old school podcast. We made it.
Yeah. Sorry if the sound quality is bad.
I think it'll be okay.
Okay. All right. Okay. Who does the editing?
Scott St. Pierre is going to handle this.
What's his Twitter?
At Scott STP.
Okay. If this is bad, blame Scott. Because Rob left a lot of gems out here.
Stop. So you're saying that if this wasn't funny.
If this wasn't funny, blame Scott because he took it out.
There's a lot of gold that you say like that left on the cutting floor.
Yeah. A ton of gold.
Yeah. All right. All right, everybody. Have a good one. Be sure to check out my podcast with Bryce on the Feedback Show and then everything if you missed the know-it-alls. And then we've got some really good stuff coming up next week as well. Make sure you subscribe. Rob has a website.com/iTunes. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.